I'm Zachariah Hughes in Studio A with the shining sun beacon of the Norton Sound.
Kelly Brabeck. Thanks, Zach. Wow.
And Kelly, you've got a lot more experience covering this race than I do. So after we blaze through the leaderboard, I'm curious if you can share a little bit about, from your reservoir wisdom, about what to watch for at this point in the race. Okay. Mushers are on the coast. They're tired. They're running lean teams. And it's hard not to think of this as the most exciting part of the whole race, the stretch where it actually becomes a race. Mushers are jockeying. Strategies retreat. Decisions are getting made on the fly. And especially with such unique trail conditions this year, skipping the ice over to Koyuk in large part and rerouting overland out of Elam, I'm hoping that you can shed a little bit of light about what's more common, more consistent, and how much of what we're seeing is really exceptional. So a little bit later on, I'm curious to hear.
Okay.
Great.
I'll try my best.
Okay. So some race standings. Ali Zirkel was the first out of Shaq Tulik. She rested there for a little over 3 hours, then departed at 7:12. Jeff King, second, rested about the same amount of time, left 48 minutes after her, pulled hook at 8 o'clock on the dot. And while that lead is nothing to scoff at, the racers are getting closer to each other in towards Koyuk, and King is catching up out on the ice. We don't have access to minute-to-minute information, but the GPS data I was looking at just a couple minutes ago on the Iditarod's website put King at a mile behind Zirkel with a slightly higher pace, around half a mile per hour faster. So King very well could pass her and be the first into Koyuk. He's been running a speedier race than Zirkel. I think what's exciting about this whole thing is that we're in a race where minutes matter. Boozer is in third position. He's a good chunk behind those first two out on the ice. Left Shaq at 8:32, about half hour behind King, and his pace is dropping a bit, is what it looks like to me. Sonny Linder's in fourth position. He was out of Shaq at 9:08, a good 3 hours and 15 minutes of rest, and he's running the most dogs in this top tier, 13 of them still on the line. And Gnome's own Aaron Burmeister speeding home in fifth position, according to the leaderboards, with a battered leg. He stopped for just an hour and a half before leaving Shaq Tulik. However, it looks like Dallas has just passed him out on the ice, heading towards Koyuk. The GPS positions I looked at just a second ago put CV about a mile ahead of Burmeister, and we'll hear a little bit later on about CV the Younger's strategic push as it's been unfolding since getting off the river. And we'll get to that later on. But Dallas left Shaq just a minute behind Burmeister, and he'd actually been in before Aaron, but rested a little bit longer. The seventh spot is also a CV, Mitch. He was out at 10:54.
And then the two that are in Shaq Tulik right now, Robert Sorley in eighth, and he arrived there at 10:37 this morning with 13, followed by another Norwegian, Jor Olsom, into Shaq Tulik at 10:38, so 1 minute later with 12 dogs. So two currently in Shaq Tulik at this stage in the race. We have five that are out of Unalakleet. Hugh Neff departed this morning at 6:25 with 8 dogs, followed by Kelly Maxner at 6:28 with 10. Out Hans Gott at 8:13 this morning, dropping a dog in Unalakleet, leaving with 14. Ray Reddington Jr. out at 8:14 a.m. with 11 dogs. And then at 11:13, Jesse Royer departed Unalakleet with 13 dogs. Zach, just to take a moment here, from Hugh Neff to Ray Reddington Jr., maybe even to Jesse Royer, we're looking at some times where they're leaving relatively close, one right after the other. And sometimes what we'll see along the race is these mini races within the big race. Some of these contenders, great mushers, they may be thinking to themselves, okay, I don't have, maybe at this stage in the game, I really don't have the team to get first or second or third. But you know what? My team is a top 10 finishing team. So we're going to see these mini races within the race for that top 10 position.
Great. And so just moving a little bit further down the list, where did we stop at around Unalakleet?
Pete Kaiser into Unalakleet this morning.
Okay. Yeah, Pete Kaiser looking great. A little bit further down is Richie Deal. He's in 19th. So, and we, you know, I only mention that and go straight to there because they've been running so close for a lot of this race. But Richie Deal of the Southwest region was out, was into Unalakleet at 9:46 this morning. Heading back up the list just a bit, in 16th position is Wade Mars. He was into Unalakleet at 9:19 this morning. He's running 10 dogs. John Baker is in 17th. He was in at 9:39. And behind him is Michelle Phillips. She was in at 9:40, just a minute afterwards, 13 dogs on the line. And Richie Deal, we got you. He's in 19th, 13 dogs. And then rookie Abby West is in 20th right now. Lead rookie Indy Unalakleet at 11:34. So a couple hours behind Richie Deal and some space in between there. But still, for a rookie, what a push to be running this high all the way at the coast. A little bit further down, in 24th, we have Michael Williams Jr. He was out of Caltag at 12:33, so he should be speeding towards the coast right now, and he's down to 8 dogs, so got to be careful at this point in the race to make sure you've got all six on the line at least by the time you cross under the Burled Arch.
And alongside that, just looking at dog numbers and stuff, you know, as you just mentioned, you need to have 6 as you cross under the Burled Arch. Some people say when you get down to about 8, 7 dogs, it's not really racing mode anymore, Zach. It's more preservation. They want to make sure that they have a healthy 8 or a healthy 7 getting their way to Nome in good stead. They might not be in the race anymore, but it's about preservation and making sure your dog team is healthy and can maintain some speed to get you to Nome. But it's just one of those things where the mind shift changes a little bit.
Right, and we saw that with Hugh Neff a little bit earlier in the race. He got down to 8 dogs. He wasn't running a full team for very long in this race, and he kind of pulled back. It seemed like he was receded. His level of competition, it seemed like, retreated a little bit, and we didn't see the same aggressive pushes that we'd seen in the first part of the race from him. Just moving down the list a little bit, Catherine Keith of Kotzebue, a rookie run this year, running dogs out of John Baker's kennel, and she was out of Caltag at, lost my place on the page, at 8:45 this morning.
With 10 dogs. Absolutely.
Yep. So right now, our Red Lantern is still Elliot Anderson. He looks like was out of Cripple at 6:21 yesterday, so that's the back of the pack. But we have a good, strong rookie field this year, it looks like. And I've heard it's one of the reasons why there is a push to get housing for mushers in Nome. It's that there are more rookies in the race this year, and as a result, there's more people than they expected who are going to finish. And so just a little, some of the local news from Nome right there.
You know, we do have 16 scratches so far in the race, and then a racing field of 53, as you mentioned, Zach. And I know that there were some mentions earlier this morning that Nicholas Petit scratched in Unalakleet, and we won't have to get into great detail with that because it was highlighted at the 9 a.m. hour at the KNWM update. But if you happen to miss that, please do go to our website, www.knwm.org. We have a variety. We have all the interviews of that are being done on the trail with Lorelei. David Dodiman is alongside her. And so if you'd like to get the details and listen to it in his own words, go to www.knwm.org, and our interview is there with that.
Now, Zirkle's at the front, but Joe Runyon, writing on the Iditarod's trail blog, points out that her lead isn't always the best position to be in. For one thing, the teams behind you get a little bit of an advantage from scent, so they're doing less work to find the trail and also may get them a little more riled up. Those advantages could be marginal, except that what we're in such a tight race at the top, and unlike past years with good sea ice and respectable trail conditions, there's going to be a lot of variables on the ground around Koyuk, Elam, and Golovin, and on to Nome. And Kelly, could you give us a little bit about how the trail is looking and what weather's doing and what racers are likely to be encountering?
Sure. So the final 200 miles along the Norton Sound coast, you know, we're going to see a lot of rocks, some dirt, ice, tussocks, maybe a lot of navigation that needs to happen. But according to Joe Runyon, who got the inside of what the trail is going to look like leading into Koyuk, the trail's been routed, as you said, Zach, Norton Sound. It's not accessible across the ice anymore as usual. So that's going to be kind of a mental mind change for a lot of the veterans that are used to doing it. Going over the ice, this is a little bit different. It's going to be through the brush on some bare ground. So there's going to be some gullies. You're going to go over some hills. And so the trail is going to be demanding. You can't just sit back, relax, and listen to your iPod or whatever you do. You're going to have to be attentive. It's going to be physically demanding for dogs and the musher. The icy trail, the dog team, they're going to skip along with little effort. It's been replaced with a lot of different attention things you need to do. You know, you need to dodge tussocks, you need to dodge ice, all that kind of stuff. And you need to be attentive and in motion. So reports, it's going to be kind of rough. You know, not as rough as the gorge and the steps or anything like that for that matter, but it's going to be a little bit different. As you mentioned earlier, they're rerouting it, 15 extra miles here, 15 extra miles there. That's 30 miles. That's a nice stretch of rerouting that you have to contend with. And maybe I'm not sure. I wasn't at the Mushers meeting in Anchorage. Maybe they know that already and kind of have worked that into their strategy. But that's something that's different along the trail this year.
Great. And I guess it's frustrating for me as somebody that tries to sort through information to have the answer be, we don't know. Yeah. And that's basically what we're encountering and what we're getting to is mm-hmm. you can't look to past races, can't look to past years, and you can't look to past trail conditions because every part of this race is so unique, so different, so we don't know. And that's exciting and it's frustrating, and it just kind of has led me to be compulsively checking the Iditarod website for new standings. Some other perspectives to keep in mind, the press. Paul Runyon notes that it's usually the media who's the one to jump on anointing the first musher into Unalakleet as the race's presumed winner, not mushers themselves. Correlation is not causation, even if a lot of the racers getting to the coast first are the ones who finish in Nome the first. There's still a lot of this race left to go and still a lot more variables and a lot more competition in the top few spots. King is posting faster times than Zirkle in between checkpoints. He was 14 minutes faster getting into Shack and 2 hours and 20 odd minutes getting into Unalakleet before that. Now, that could be because Zirkle is pacing herself, resting her team on the trail, but with only 48 minutes in front of King leaving Shaktulik, there's just not enough leeway or pacing to be had. Still, you'll hear an interview that Lorelei got with Jeff King in a little bit about how measured, and just note how measured and confident he sounds. It seems like he's making a good effort not to bolt, but to stick to a plan to keep his strategy in his game. And that patience, that reserve, that mental fortitude, that must, the amount that must take after so many exhausting days on the trail is, to me, one of the most impressive feats at this stage in the race. Zirkle was the first into Shaktulik, like we've said, and there's a little bit of news coming from the Iditarod Insider that she has an injury. It was reported that she's limping and as she was tended to her dogs in Shack. No word yet on what happened or how serious it is, although regardless, I think we all know it would take a lot more than a limp to keep Zirkle or any of the front runners from pushing on. We'll hear Zirkle coming into Unalakleet earlier yesterday. Lorelei got the sounds and the celebration that was going on and how she was greeted by people down there, so we'll hear that after the King interview. Another thing to consider, Dallas Seavey is making moves. He's been speeding up the trail since leaving the river, and he's posting the fastest times in between checkpoints right now, making it from Unalakleet to Shack in just over 5 hours, which even in a good year with good trail conditions is still impressive. In this year, it's what experts technically refer to as a doozy. Joe Runyon also throwing some color, some colorful Dallas dressing details into his report. Dallas is running this race right now in running shoes, and that's part of his effort to get physically into the race for this last part. He's holding nothing back and getting really aggressive. He'll be running next to the sled up hills, pushing his team at every way he can. Not clear yet if he can make up the distance between him and the top of the pack, but a lot of people are saying he and Mitch have the strongest looking dogs out there right now. Kelly, anything else to add?
You know, you're adding a lot, and it's phenomenal. But yes, you're right. It's like this is the stage of the game where people are just really the eyes on the prize, and you are looking at your team and seeing where can I get the best advantage without destroying anything that I've gained so far. Am I going to chip away at some of my rest time to gain a little bit more of an advantage? You know, you like what you just said. Am I going to change into my running gear? And it's all about mind games too. I don't know if mushers really show it all that much to the press and interviews and that kind of stuff, but there's got to be mind games and there's got to be things going on in the front of the pack because it's a race and people want it and they want it bad. So there's always that impulse to chase, and having that patience and staying on your schedule is key. But there's always that impulse to chase because it is a race after all. I'll take a look at the weather here, Zach, if you don't mind. I'll throw it in here. We're looking at Shaktulik and Koyuk today. It's going to be sunny. Highs 5 to 15. Northeast winds about 5 to 15 miles an hour tonight. It's mostly clear. Lows 5 to 15 below. And northeast winds, there's really no sign of precipitation thus far in the cast.
And Kelly, what are we looking at as far as getting to Nome? I mean, if the pace keeps up like it has, obviously not on the Yukon, but we're running a faster than average year. When are we going to expect? I mean, give me down to the minute. When are we...
I have no idea.
Not knowing is the hardest part.
Yeah, it's definitely a race, and it's a lot quicker. As you said, the pace is going a lot quicker, and I'm excited. I'm just as you. I mean, I know this is your first Iditarod reporting, and I've done many, but the excitement is just new for me every single year as well.
Well, we've got at least another day on the trail, so if you've got any chores that you need to take care of, do them now. Stay tuned to CanOM to hear the full interviews with Jeff King and Ali Zirkel. For more CanOM Iditarod coverage, visit us on the web at www.canom.org. The next CanOM Iditarod update will be at 5 o'clock. I'm Zachariah Hughes in Studio A. With
Kelly Brabeck. Have a good afternoon.
Take care.